It is good to have everyone today on this July 14th, 2019, a message entitled Obtain the Promises. We're going to start out in Hebrews chapter 11 and look at verses 32 and 33. This is the third message on the promises of God. I praise God for everything that is in the Word of God. I mean, thank you, Lord Jesus, for the verses. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the promises. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the story of the resurrection, for the death on the cross, the Old Testament, and all these wonderful things. But my friend, I want you to understand, God wants everything that's in the Word of God to go from the Word of God into your heart. And He wants it to be lived in your life. And that's what we are looking at when it comes to the promises of God. They're just not meant to be on the page. And they are not just meant to be for other people. They are for you and they are for me. And they are clear and they are specific and they are personal and they are meant to be experienced. So I want to praise God when He says, I want you to have the peace that passes understanding. He really wants me to have the peace that passes understanding. When He says, I want you to have strength to go through the valley, He really wants to give me the strength to get through the valley. So thank you, Lord, so much for the promises of God lived in the lives of His children. In Hebrews 11, 32, it says this. The Hebrew writer says, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, of Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, of all the prophets, who through faith they subdued kingdoms. Through faith they wrought righteousness. And through faith they obtained the promises. And that's the message. Obtaining the promises. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank You for this time. I thank You for each one that has sung today, each one that has played music, each one that has lifted their hearts up to You. And Father, we just thank You for this great privilege, how it speaks to our heart, strengthens our heart to sing and praise. Father, as I come today, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin. I ask for forgiveness of weekly sin. I confess these things to You out loud as filthy, filthy rags. And I pray, Lord Jesus, to be cleansed by Your blood. To not only be cleansed, but then to be filled with righteousness. Father, mortify my flesh. And I pray, Father, for a filling of Your Spirit to humbly wash the feet of these folks today. Father, I am a reader of the Scriptures. As I read these truths, let Your Holy Spirit be our perfect teacher. As we open our hearts to You and You personally speak to us. Holy Spirit, please take over. You are our teacher. In Your glorious name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Was that not an awesome praise chorus? What a wonderful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. You know, I was sitting there thinking, and we never know how things are going to go because we do not hold in our hand the issues of life and death. But if the good Lord, by grace and mercy, on my last breath here on the face of the earth, if I am conscious, I hope my last words are, thank You, Lord Jesus. I hope I am conscious enough to be able to say, thank You, Lord Jesus. To be able to speak that wonderful, wonderful name as we're going into glory. And as y'all were singing that song, that was my meditation. Lord Jesus, we don't know how things go, and I don't want to pray selfishly. But man, oh man, oh man, what a wonderful privilege it is to say the name, Lord Jesus. All right, look at what it says. Who through faith they subdued kingdoms in verse 33. Who through faith they wrought righteousness. And who through faith they obtained the promises. Now I'm going to give you a couple of Greek and Hebrew words today. But that word obtain means this in the Greek. It means to acquire for oneself. It means to procure for oneself, to take possession of, and it means to receive. So every promise in the Word of God is for you to receive in your life personally. Every promise of victory, every promise of rest, every promise of peace, every promise of guidance, every promise of wisdom, every promise of counsel, every promise of strength and endurance and perseverance, every promise that there'll never be more on you than you can bear, but there will be with the trial and storm a way or a pathway of deliverance and escape. Every promise that I will be with you always, they are all for you to experience. I know these promises are true. How do you know they're true? Because I experience them from time to time. And God means for us to experience them. So what does it say there? Through faith, you obtain the promise. Now, faith is the virtue, the energy, the power, the mindset by which you receive and procure the actions and the activity of God that He has promised to bring into your life. Now, I want you to understand, faith is a tough emotion. Faith is perseverance. Faith is stick-to-itiveness. Faith means I'm actually reaching out and grabbing hold of the Lord Jesus, and I'm saying, God, I believe what your word says, and I am not going to let you go until you bless me with this promise. Amen. Faith is an energy and strength. It's not something that's wimpy. It's not something we pray about. It's not something we read about and it stays in our prayers or it stays on the pages of the book. Faith is a real spiritual virtue and energy. And it's active. And it is your power to grab hold of God. So if there's something you're praying about, my friend, it would do you well to get along with God with a mindset and with a stick-to-itiveness where you're going to say, Lord, I'm like Jacob by the creek. I'm grabbing hold of you. We're going to wrestle all night, or we're going to wrestle this next hour. But all my energy, all my focus, all my strength, all my faith is going to be in grabbing hold of you right now, because you are the source, you are the giver, I am the receiver, and I need what you've got, and I am asking for it and pleading for it right now. So through faith, they obtain these things. And look how powerful it is. Look at what it says in verse 33. They obtain the promises that stop the mouths of lions, that quench the violence of fire. Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, that escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness they were made strong. I want you to understand something. That's a promise from God. God says, I will strengthen you. I will give you courage. I will give you faith. Patty and I spent some time yesterday with Jeannie and Wilbur. And when we left there, I told Patty, I said, Jeannie's such an inspiration to me with her courage, with her faith, with her strength. And I just praise God. Faith is something that subdues the circumstances, surpasses the circumstances, lifts you above the circumstances. Yeah. Brother Leo, when I'm in a tough time, I just fall apart. Well, then there's no difference between you and a lost person. Because when a lost person's in a tough time, they just fall apart. Because they don't have anybody to grab hold of. We have someone to grab hold of. Now, there are times we're going to fall apart, but there are times we ought to know victory. There are times we ought to know strength. There are times we ought to know peace. And you've got to convince yourself that everything that was available to Joshua is available to me. Everything that was available to Peter is available to me. Because you are indwelt by the same Holy Spirit. And you have received the promise. Now, God's goal, God's intention, is that you experience and you live in His promises. So, go with me to Joshua chapter 21. I challenge you to do a word study on promise in the Word of God. How many times promise is mentioned in the Word of God? You know who we got saved by? The promised Messiah. You know what Canaan is called? The promised land. You know who you're indwelt by? The promise of my Father. My friend, every major doctrine in the Word of God and every experience by a child of God is based on a promise from God. The promised land, the promised Messiah, the promise of my Father. I told you a couple weeks ago, one day I fully expect to experience heaven. Why? Because He promised me, I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. So it's all based on a promise. Here is the children of Israel in the, and if you're listening on the website, so I'm doing quotations with my hands, as they enter into the promised land. Verse 43. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which He promised and swore to give unto their fathers. Now, I want to give you that Hebrew word, swore, all right, to swear. And that Hebrew word is shava, S-H-A-V-A. And it means to pledge or to promise with an oath. Okay, to pledge or to promise with an oath. So where it says He swore, that means you pledge or you promise with an oath. There's no stronger promise you can make. To give one's word, to faithfully perform a promised deed. To give one's word, to faithfully perform a promised deed. Now that's what it means. And so what does it mean here? Look at what it says. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which He sware to give unto their father. So why is that word used there? Because the Lord promised them, I'm going to give you this land, and they got this land. So every promise made to you by God in the Word of God is a promise of God that He is vowing unto you, He will faithfully perform. And it's for you. It's for you. And the Lord gave them rest, according to all that He, there it is again, swore and promised with an oath unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Now read this. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All of it came to pass. I want you to understand, there is not one dot on an I, there is not one cross on a T of any promise God's made to you in the Word of God that will fail. And I just praise God for that. You know, we count on a lot of things in this country. Every one of them can fail. The only thing that cannot fail is God and His promises to you. So I praise the Lord for that. Now, I want you to understand, God wants us to live in the promises. Look what it says in verse 43. The Lord gave unto Israel all the land which He sware to give unto, that they possessed it and they lived in it. Now, what is it called, the promised land? There are two things God wants you to do with every promise. He wants you to possess it, and He wants you to live in it. He wants me to possess the peace that passes understanding. He wants me to live in the peace that passes understanding. He wants me to possess the strength of God. He wants me to live in the strength of God. He wants me to possess the wisdom of God. He wants me to live in the wisdom of God. I have said many, many times in my life when folks have asked me for a decision, I've said many times, I can't give you that decision right now. Well, why can't you give me that decision? Because I've got to pray about it, and I've got to get the wisdom of God. And when I get the wisdom of God, I get the peace of God. I feel sorry for Christians that have never made that statement. For Christians that don't believe that. I believe with all my heart God will give me the wisdom of God, because he said, if you need wisdom, ask for it. I promise you, I'll give it to you. Amen. But so many folks say, that's not for me. The devil lies to you. And he'll tell you, oh, I'm not good enough to be able to get things from God. My friend, none of us are good enough to get things from God. We're covered by his blood. It's all based on grace. He wants us to ask. He wants us to seek. He wants us to expect to receive things from God. If you've been saved, I want you to know something. Go to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says this. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Ain't that wonderful? God, I know you are for me. I'm going to show you something in the Psalms here in a minute that says that exactly. If God be for us, who can be against us? And he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up on that cross for all of us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things that we need? Now I want to grab hold of that again, because I just said it a minute ago. He freely gives us all the promises. I don't have to earn the promises. I don't have to buy the promises. I want you to understand, through faith and obedience, I will live in the promises. Because when you're living by obedience and you're living in the will of God, you're living in the promised land of your life. And in the promised land are all the promises and all the blessings of God. So he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? When I got saved, God the Father gave me God the Son. By his Spirit. Jesus said, I will come into you. I will be in you. My Spirit will come into you. So if he has given me his Son, he will also give me all things that I need. If I will seek them, if I will ask for them, if I will expect them to be a part of my life. You say, well, Brother Leo, I'm just not the best Christian that ever lived. Well, let me tell you something. You ain't the worst one either. So quit raising your standard this way and raise the standard down here, and understand God's mercy reaches down to you and me. Amen. And God is like a heavenly father. My son is not perfect. I was not a perfect son to my dad, but I'll tell you one thing. I'll give my son anything he needs, and now my dad will give me anything I need. And my heavenly father loves me more than my daddy loves me. So I want you to understand, when God sees you, he sees a child. And when he sees his child, he sees his child in need. He desires to give to you, not because you're perfect, but because he loves you. And we got to understand this, and we got to expect it, and we got to grab hold of it. And it's okay to say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I know you love me. Well, I want you to know, Lord, I love you. And Father, I need this from you, Jesus, and I need that. And I want to use everything you give me for your glory. God will not turn away that prayer, I promise you. Now, if you're praying selfishly, you know, you're praying out of God's will. But if you're praying to love somebody more, if you're praying to be a blessing to others, if you're asking God to bring things into your life to help you do godly things and to help you do what's right, God's going to hear your prayer and God's going to bless you. Now, look at what it says there. If God be for us, who can be against us? Go with me to Psalm 56. Now, you've got similar words in the Hebrew and the Greek. You got promises, you got vows, you've got oaths. You've got the word, he swore a promise unto me. But I just want you to see verse 12. It says, your vows are upon me, O God. You know, and you can speak that back to God. Your promises are upon me, O God. Your promises are upon my life, O God. Now, let me read to you some verses out of Psalm 56. Psalm 56, verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Is that not beautiful? What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Would you say that with me? What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Would you say it again? What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. You know, I say that all the time. I say that all the time, and I say it out loud. First verse I ever taught Daniel was either 1 or 2 Timothy 1:7. I can't remember it now. But I taught him, I said, every time you get up to bat, say, God hath not given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of peace and victory in Christ Jesus. You know, I said, just pray that prayer. Just pray that prayer. And you know, we can speak these things and they speak to us. Verse 4, in God I will praise his word. In God I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Now, why is he saying all these things? Go down with me to verse 8. You tell all my wanderings. You put my tears in your bottle. They are in your book. You know every time I cry. When I cry unto you, then shall mine enemies turn back. Here we go again. We just quoted this in Romans. For this I know, God is for me. God is on your side. God is on my side. Would you say that with me? God is on my side. You say, Brother Leo, how do you know God's on my side? I've had a terrible week this week. I've done this, I've done that. My friend, it does not matter. If you are a child of God, the Word of God says God is on your side. The promises of God are stronger than your circumstances. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. The devil will tell you God's not on your side. Well, that's a lie. It's opposite of what I just read you. God is on your side.
Yeah, amen.
He loves you. He is for you. And look at what he says, verse 10. In God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. In God I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Why? Because all the promises of God are upon me. My friend, I want to challenge you. When you're going through the Word of God in your devotions this week, and you come across the promise of God, circle it. Or highlight in the Word of God. Say, hey, this is for me. And you write out in the margin, this is for me. This is for my life. All the promises of God are for you. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You start studying this, and it just jumps out at you. Everything you read deals with the promise of God. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. But as God is true, Paul speaking, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yea and nay, but in him was every yes. For all the promises of God in Christ are yes. And in him are amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which established us with you in Christ, and hath anointed us is God, and he hath sealed us, and given us the earnest of the Holy Spirit in our heart. What is Paul saying there? Paul is saying all the promises of God are yes and yes and amen and amen. And all the promises of God are as well as said, it is done, it is sealed, you are delivered. I want you to understand, every promise, I'm not asking God to perform His promises. God has already performed His promises. All the promises of God are done. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I can promise you I'm going to do something, and I may not do it. I might tell you, well, after school today, I'll go pick up so-and-so at school. And then I can forget. Or you can promise me to do something, and you can forget. But we've got to understand everything that God says He has promised, it is as good as if it were already done, because it is. All the promises of God are yes and yes and yes and amen and amen and amen. And I'm going to tell you something. There's power in just saying that. Lord, You promised to give me the peace that passes understanding. Yes, yes, yes. That's what that scripture means. And you, in a positive way, proclaim it and praise it and grab hold of it. We just don't put enough energy in our prayers. We don't put enough energy, in our personal relationship. F.B. Meyer calls it the secret place. You know, we don't go into the secret place enough. And when we're in there, maybe we're not putting heart, body, soul, and mind in it. But I'm going to tell you something. That it's not too long, the fall's going to be here, and you're going to see people absolutely worn out. After they leave a UT game or an Alabama game or an Auburn game, and these people going to be hollering and screaming and putting every ounce of energy that they have. And guess what? When you're on the field, you really don't even hear these people. You really don't. But boy, they think you do. I sat at an Atlanta Braves game a couple of weeks ago, and I had a guy sit by me, two rows down, season ticket holder, and he wrote an umpire who was calling third base the entire game because he made an infield fly call 5 or 6 years ago in a playoff game that went against the Braves. And there'd be a hit to the outfield, and he'd go, infield fly, infield fly. What about it, Harry? Infield fly. I heard that for 9 innings. 9 innings. And I started watching the umpire, and every now and again, he'd cut his eyes over there. And I said, Patty, he's going to remove this guy before this thing's over. By the end of that game, that guy had lost his voice. He had literally lost his voice. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I enjoyed this game. Somebody did something good, you know, I can clap a little bit. But I'm not going to put 140% of my energy sitting at a ball game, cheering or booing or anything. But I tell you one thing, I can sure speak out loud to my God. And I can say unto the Lord, Father, You have promised me strength to get through this week. And I'm saying unto You, yes, Lord, yes. I am counting on You, Lord Jesus. And my friend, just like when you're singing these songs, and when you're singing them out loud, my friend, I know it lifts you up. And I know it strengthens you. Well, when you repeat these promises unto God, man, when Paul's writing this in verse 20, for all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him are amen, unto the glory of God by us. And my friend, as long as you're clinging to those promises, go with me to 1 Kings. Look at the words of Solomon. Go with me to 1 Kings. You know, people take sports so serious. I told Patty, I said, I'd forgotten totally about all that situation and really can't hardly remember it now. Yet, you know, people will ask me things sometimes about things that happen in life. And I'll say, man, so much is going on this week. I ain't got time to think about what happened 6 months ago. You know, God just wants your life filled with His goodness, filled with His blessings, filled with your activity in serving Him and being a good parent or being a good friend or doing good in your job. You know, let the Lord invigorate you and move you forward. 1 Kings chapter 8, Solomon is admonishing the people. And he says this, "And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, and they had built the temple, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees, with his hands spread up to heaven." Can you just see that, man? Here's Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. He's on his knees, and his hands are lifted up to heaven. And he's been praying unto God. Now he turns to the people. He stands up. He blesses all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice. And he says this, "Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people, Israel, according to all that he promised." Would you say that word with me? Promise. Isn't it wonderful you got a God that's promised you a bunch of stuff? Bunch of good stuff? "There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant." Now, isn't that wonderful? Somebody might say to you one day, "You having a good day?" And all you got to say to him, "Yeah, man, I'm having a good day because, you know, I know something. I know that every promise God has ever made to me, not one word of it's ever going to fail." Isn't that wonderful? Amen. You know, we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that I think's absolutely gone nuts a lot of ways. But I want to tell you something. We got a Savior. There's not one word that He has promised us that is ever going to fail. I just praise God for that. I praise God for His goodness. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Listen to this. Now I want you to understand, Abraham represents you. Abraham is called the father of faith. And everybody that comes to God by faith are considered the children of Abraham. And that's biblical. So Abraham represents us. He preceded the Jewish nation. Abraham represents those that were saved by faith. Now, look at what it says about when God made a promise to Abraham. Verse 13 of Hebrews 6. "For when God made promise to Abraham," all right, here we go again. You start studying that word promise, it's almost on every page. "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply you." You know what, my friend, that's the way he makes promises to us. When God makes a promise to us, because he can swear by no greater, he swears unto himself that he will never fail us in any promise he's made to us. And you know what he promises to do for us? He promises to bless us. Yes. You ever looked up the word blessing? Blessing is a state of spiritual and emotional joy and contentment. I didn't know that. To be blessed is to be in a state of spiritual and emotional joy and contentment. Like if I say, "God bless you." Now, I could say, "God bless you with health," or "God bless you with safe travels." Because blessing also means, when God's favor is bestowed on someone in the form of a gift or an action. So when I say, "God bless you with health," I'm asking God to bestow His favor upon you with good health. Or if I say, "God bless you with His safety," I'm asking God to bestow His favor upon you with safety. Or, "God bless you with His good wisdom." God bless you, my friend. God bless you with all the blessings that you need. Isn't that a wonderful thing? So when I'm saying that, I'm saying I believe that God sends blessings out of heaven, whether they're actions, whether they're gifts, whether they're a state of emotional joy, peace, and contentment, whatever they are, I believe God sends these things from heaven into the lives of Christians. Like a little ray of sunshine coming down from heaven, and everywhere you walk, that little ray is on top of you, bestowing you stuff. When I'm saying God bless you, that's what I'm saying, and that's what I believe, and that's what you need to believe. A lot of times Patty and I are together and I'll say, boy, God's blessed us with a wonderful day. I give God all the credit for the wonderful day. Patty, God blessed us getting you through that surgery. Patty, God blessed us getting through this appointment. Patty, God blessed us. I believe in God's action and activity in the life of an individual Christian. So you've got vows, you've got oaths, you've got promises, you've got blessings. You've got all these things in the Word of God that are studied on the page but are meant to come out into our lives. And we need to expect them, and we need to grab hold of them. So go with me to Romans chapter 4. And we'll close out with Father Abraham. I said that like a Charlestonian. Father. Father Abraham had many children. Many children had Father Abraham. I notice that a lot more when I go home. People say, you don't sound the same anymore. What's wrong with you? I say, look, 99% of the country can't understand what you people say. But I can. Because I was raised in it. Daniel will call us up sometimes. And he'll mimic his grandfather. And he'll say, y'all out on the boat? And he'll say, boat? My daddy was talking to a little boy one day, and the little boy looked up at him, and this is a true story, and he said, what is a boat? Charlestonian can't say boat. Boat. You on the boat? The boat. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 4, verse 13. For the promise, oh my goodness, would you say that word again? Promise. I mean, this word's all over the Word of God. Promise, promise, promise. Lord, thank you for the promise. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but every promise of God is received through the righteousness of faith. Verse 16. Therefore, the promise is of faith that it may be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. That's to everyone in every generation that comes to God by faith. They will receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of all of us. So the promise of grace, of salvation by grace through faith, is to all of us. But then he gets specific in verse 20. When Abraham and Sarah were promised a child in verse 19, and their bodies were 100 years old. Verse 20, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. There's that word again, through unbelief. But was strong in faith, gave glory to God, and allowed himself to be fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was not only able to perform in his life, but that he was going to perform it in his life. I believe they're telling us Abraham looked at Sarah and said, Sarah, you better quit laughing. God is going to give us a child. And my friend, that's how God wants us to look at every promise. Sometimes we need to look at our loved one or our spouse or whoever and we say, look, I'm not giving up. God is going to give us an answer in this. Look, I'm not giving up. God is going to give us a healing in this. Look, I'm not giving up. God is going to resolve this situation. I'm going to keep going to Him by faith because He has promised. He is not the author of confusion, but of peace. So God's going to take care of this. This is God's will. He take care of this. This is God. God is going to provide. I'm not giving up. I know that God is going to provide. And you got to grab hold. And not let go. Our problem is, and God understands this, we bring God down to the level of man because we live in the level of man. I don't get to get up tomorrow morning and live vertically in heaven. I got to get up tomorrow morning and live horizontally here on earth. And so we think because of the way people do promises, God does them that way. We think because of how much ability and strength people have, that's how much ability and strength God has. I want you to understand, you've got an infinite God. You've got an all-powerful God. You've got a God who has unsearchable riches. You know, I praise God, we've got some math teachers in here. I want you to understand something. There is no computation and there is no formula that can compute infinity. We cannot come up with a number for infinity. We can't come up with a description of unsearchable. We can't come up with a definition for all the attributes of an unlimited eternal God. But I read an author this week, and he said this. He said to sit down one day and contemplate the universe. Contemplate the hundreds of thousands of varieties of flowers and plants and trees. And then contemplate the hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands of varieties of fish in the sea and mammals and reptiles. And then contemplate the stars and the planets in our uncountable expanding universe. And then he said, you will still not be in the ballpark. So God has strength. Whatever you're going through, I want to read this to you again. I am fully persuaded He's able to take care of. He was fully persuaded. You know, we think that's a big deal. Abraham was 100, Sarah was 90, and she had a child. That's not even a little cell on the pinky of Almighty God. Thank you, Lord, for all your wonderful promises. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes.